The University Tower Chime is ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, and then to my right again, and then one more right, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello. Happy to be here.
There's just a couple chairs. I did bathe
Ghosts.
Today.
Ghosts.
I did bathe.
You know
today.
What? I don't like these because the microphone faces the wrong direction.
It's kind of true.
I feel like I have to lean over the strange angle to face the host.
You know how Heather traditionally last few months sits here? She's always giving me some sort of weird corner of her eye kind of look because she can't look at me directly. It's awkward. I agree.
And is
I
it
agree.
Only because of the seating location or because of her thoughts of Matt Mayo?
Who knows? Who knows? And frankly, it's kind of a nice gesture. Don't the Jewish peoples have special dinners where they leave a chair for Elijah or something like that? We've left a chair for Kathy and Edwin today to join us if they would like, as long as it's not too scary.
Right,
yeah. Oh, my.
We can use some of their answers.
Continuing around the table, Professor Joe Abbasett is here.
How are you?
How's it going?
Pretty good.
You definitely, with no offense to anybody else at the table, look the most spruced up.
Thank you.
Distinguished,
very much.
Yeah.
Offense taken.
Yeah. It's 60 plus degrees outside, and
suit
I was
and
had
tie.
A hoodie on, and I was kind of sweating while I was teaching today. So
it is.
Yeah,
time.
It's really hot.
Yeah, it will be time to start wearing more spring ties.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Spring ties.
Spring color ties.
They're lighter.
Yeah.
They're lighter. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. We'll continue around the table and introduce our guest panelist for today. He's been a guest panelist before, but he's back. How's that? It's Professor Tom Lamara.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I decided that you weren't going to get some sort of crazy al fresco-like moniker. You're just going to be yourself today.
Thank you.
Excellent. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Continuing around, Professor Dan Maggio is here with his Pure Leaf.
Yes, thanks.
I can't drink it.
Why?
Because they use citric acid to stabilize it so it could stay on the shelf a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. Try not to get, TMI here, but it makes me break out in canker sores. It's so citric.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I tried it for a while.
We should see what the pH of that stuff is.
It's really acidic. Okay. It's really, really acidic.
Can you bring some paper next time?
I'm just thankful it
makes me break. A meter.
No offense. Better. I'm just thankful it's canker sores and you're not gaseous.
No, I'm not gaseous.
Well,
if Heather were here, she'd say, keep it classy.
But didn't we have we had a flatulence question.
14 times a day.
A couple months ago, how many
number of times per day.
14
times a day. Yeah.
I was going to say 18.
Episodes. Number of episodes.
Episodes.
Busily sketching away for all sorts of different reasons is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
You're not a Pure Leaf guy, you're a Power C guy.
I'm whatever I can get my hands on.
Dragon fruit.
This was cold in the fridge today. So
oh, okay. You have high standards.
Yes. It's not. There's no film on top, it's not furry, it's good. So
unbelievable. So I'm sorry to hear that due to our recent windstorm, which, yes, 1-in-7 shot happened on a Wednesday. My kids have already nicknamed it Wednesday, it's going to go down in history.
That's
you lost
awesome.
Some shingles on your house.
Two
That's
shingles.
Unfortunate. Yeah,
just
and
lost
so
two.
The contractor just wants an arm and half of a leg to
several
put them back
legs.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible, man.
They were gouging me. I just walked away.
Unbelievable. Well, you're going to be hammering away soon.
Darn right.
You got the weather for it.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is a program. We could send us questions regarding anything. I usually make a nice segue, but if you want to send us shingle questions, I suppose that'd be okay.
Oh, no.
You stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. We've got a set of questions sent fairly recently. Dear Matt and professors, a sincere apology for not writing sooner. I have no excuses for not submitting questions sooner, other than that I've enlisted the help of my family in the submission of these 30 questions. Yes, 30. I vaguely recall 30. In a previous episode that one of the professors asking for a food theme series. It always seems like a well-centered theme on many of your shows, that's for sure. Well, my family likes to eat, too. That's an interesting fact. And we couldn't help but come up with various questions on the topic. I'd like to thank the daughter and wife for coming up with a few of these. They had a lot of fun researching the topic with me. I hope the questions will be enjoyable for the show as they were to come up with. Warmest wishes from Valencia, California. That's Mr. Frank Burrows.
Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
30, huh?
Yep, 30 questions. Wow. We'll see how this cracks out here.
Uh-oh.
What are the three main ingredients in the traditional Canadian dish poutine?
French fries, gravy, and cheese.
Yes. Cheese curds.
Cheese curds.
Cheese curds.
And what kind of gravy?
Brown.
It's got to be brown
or,
gravy.
I think in Nova Scotia, it's chicken gravy.
Really? Yes. Well, that's not brown.
Regional difference.
Yes.
We are obviously separated.
No, no,
by
I mean
denominational differences.
Go to Quebec and go to, you know, they have some of the most amazing poutine around.
You have to go all the way to Quebec.
Well, there's a place called the Poutinerie out there. That,
well, is it French?
That'll do it.
What is
it's
that?
It's our national fruit, so it's all over.
What is the added ingredient if a dish is spaghetti a la vongole?
Vongole. Matt, this is in your wheelhouse.
It is in my wheelhouse. Although I tell you, I've never heard the word vongole before. V-O-N-G-O-L-E. We have a Maggio and a Mayo at the table.
Hmm.
Probably because I usually don't have my spaghetti this way.
Cheese?
Not cheese, no.
Vodka?
No, that's a good guess.
Citric acid.
Does it?
Oh. I'll tell you what, though. Vodka might be an added ingredient if these were put on top. I know I've seen people do vodka sauce with...
Like a
flower? Olives?
What, mushrooms?
On fire?
What? Nope.
Anchovies?
This is a animal that gets added to the spaghetti.
Squirrel.
Rabbit.
No, it says clams. Spaghetti clams. With clams.
Oh, really?
Okay, I don't know my answer.
Have you ever had the vodka sauce with clams? That's actually
I've had vodka sauce.
I've heard of it.
Nope. But,
All right.
We blew that one.
What was introduced to Thai cuisine after King Chuala Longkorn's return from Europe in 1897?
Peanuts.
Soy sauce.
No. No, these things had already been there. This would have been Western influence on Thai cuisine.
Chop suey.
Oh. No. No.
Carry-out boxes.
Oh, no.
No. Fortune. No.
Chopsticks.
Fortune cookies.
Nope. No, but chopsticks is on the right track. What would the king have brought back from Europe before the turn of the century?
A fork.
Fork and a spoon. Yeah, absolutely. You guys got it.
Okay,
I
was thinking ingredients.
That was tricky.
What are the traditional ingredients that make up a Chicago-style hot dog? And let me tell you, this is a three-line response.
A poppy seed bun.
Got to be poppy seed buns.
Hot peppers.
Absolutely.
Celery salt. Pickles. Tomato. Hot dog.
Relish. But never ketchup.
Mustard.
Tomato.
But
never tomato?
Never ketchup.
Never ketchup.
What are we missing? Said relish?
You're missing.
Did you say pickles?
Actually, I'm going to give you.
Pickle,
I'm going to give you relish because it says sweet pickle,
celery,
but a kosher spear. You can't have it the other way around. I think that you've only missed two things.
Onions?
Onions are listed here.
Mustard.
So white onions and mustard.
Yeah, mustard. Yeah.
So the peppers are a very specific kind of pepper.
Banana.
Usually referred to as a sport pepper. Yeah, they call it a sport pepper.
Sport.
Banana pepper.
So good.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And it does say right at the end of the sentence, ketchup is never an option. I got to say, I'm pretty much done with ketchup on hot dogs. I can't do it anymore.
Well, that's because you're from Detroit.
I know.
But do your kids do it?
Of course my kids do it. They would drink the stuff if I allowed them to. I was encouraged, though. The last time I went to Westbourne, they had Red Pelican back on the shelf, which is one of my favorite mustards growing up, and I thought it was gone forever.
If you want, try the Coleman's.
Oh, okay.
It's expensive, but it is ungodly.
I had no idea I was going to become a mustard guy, but
I love mustard.
Here we are.
I've actually been to the Mustard Museum.
There's a museum.
Where's that?
It's in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh,
it's
of course it is.
Do they have a tasting room?
Yeah, you see how many different kinds of mustards
there
are.
Yeah, you leave there in the sneezing aisle.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Hundreds of different mustards.
Yeah, so Red Pelican was the Detroit-made mustard that they exclusively sold at Tiger Stadium for almost the last 30 or 40 years it was around. And there was a rumor they would pick up the contract when they moved to Comerica Park, but they just went with GFS brand.
Speaking of which, did you hear the latest about Little Caesars Arena? They got Labatt for the official beer.
Yeah, that's right. Can't wait for some kids' science fair sponsored by Labatt Blue.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Doesn't seem right.
It's coming.
Yet.
Why, speaking of a Canadian brand?
Yeah.
But it's
hockey. But it's been at the Tigers, you know.
I know.
They have it around.
Look up Sea Blue.
I know.
Speaking of slogans and people with ties to advertising, what has the slogan "Taste the Rainbow"?
Skittles.
Oh,
that was
Professor Evans did not even hesitate.
Didn't even blink.
Didn't even. I think those commercials are really funny. Like the one where the boy's got them all over his face, like
he's
got a disease.
Kind of gross though.
I love them,
but pretty funny.
They're memorable. What fast food chain once towed a huge target into the Pacific Ocean and said if any piece of the falling Mir space station were to hit it, everybody in America will get one free meal item.
Taco Bell.
That's right.
And I
when
remember
was that. That?
Oh, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, did anybody get any Taco Bell?
No, I don't think so.
No,
well,
but
we all would have got it.
But did you hear the insurance policy? They actually took insurance out of
just
in case.
Of course they had. Oh, of course they did. It'll be like the McDonald's 88 Olympics all over again. Sheesh.
What happened in there?
The whole thing was, remember, Russia bowed out at the very last moment, and McDonald's had, you know, sort of ganked all of their little scratch-off tickets so that Russia would always, like, if the U.S. wins this event, you win a burger. But then all the Russia was invalid, so the U.S. was winning a ton of medals, and they gave away a bajillion free hamburgers and stuff like that. Yeah. Classic story from American history and McDonald's history. Or as my four-year-old refers to it, he's a very confused young man.
So far.
Mick Old Donald. I'm like, yep, there's a lot of things.
We still have Old McDonald's for sure.
Yeah, but Mick Old Donald is the
that's
variation.
Like Little My Pony.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What happens with the words? How does that, no, what's but going
is
on
that
in those
like
frames?
Mick Old Donald's.
That's what
it's
Emmett
McDonald's
calls
with old in it because of the song. And it's in the wrong order, because of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Yes. And not helped
Little
by
My
his
Pony.
Teacher's name, Mrs. Oldani. Yep. All of that
is
coming
really
together.
Confusing.
All of it's
that
coming
is confusing.
Together.
But then, is that any worse than we adults adding like Sears, or not Sears, like Myers, Kroger's, Ford's,
no,
Chrysler's?
No, it's true. Yeah, it's always the possessive. But that was for a reason. When Henry Ford was alive, you worked for Ford's.
No, but don't you work for Ford?
No, I think people said they worked for Henry Ford's company, like Ford's.
Okay.
Let's keep the Taco Bell thing going.
Yeah, let's continue food.
Which city in the great nation of Canada hosted the first opening of the first Taco Bell?
Kendra, this is in your wheelhouse, isn't it? You're the Taco Bell.
I do like
aficionado.
The $5 Cravings deal box. but I'm not familiar with the Canadian history of Taco Bell, but I'm going to go with Vancouver.
Toronto.
It's quite a bit further from both of those cities.
Oh.
Manitoba.
I'll tell you what, it's further from those cities, but it is dang close to where I'm sitting right now.
Windsor,
Ontario.
I wonder which one. There's only so many over there.
Gotta find out. Which was the first Taco Bell in Canada?
You know, I'm thinking.
Let's quest.
I think I know which one. The one right off of Huron Church.
Oh.
Because that's the main drag. Well, think of all the truckers going by.
Absolutely.
They gotta eat somewhere.
Absolutely.
Wonder if it's been
401?
Yeah, on the way out, yeah.
Wonder if it's been designated as like a national historical landmark.
Taco Bell historic landmark.
This brass plaque here commemorates the first gordita.
What was the first Western fast food chain that opened in the Republic of China?
McDonald's.
KFC.
KFC is what it was.
And they are the big to-do over there.
Holy yeah, you should smokes. See when the Chinese people moved to Kentucky. Or actually in Michigan when I was going to school. They would be like, oh, Kentucky, you're from Kentucky. I love their chicken.
I know that it has become a modern tradition in Japan that on Christmas Day, everybody goes to KFC.
What?
Yes, absolutely. That is
KFC
the tradition.
KFC is good.
Is it even chicken over there?
Yes, it's still chicken, but they import the fries.
Wait, what would it be?
There's other animals that begin with C that I could think of.
Wiener.
Oh, it's too much work.
Too much work. Hurting the cats, you mean?
No, oh my gosh. Chicks.
Oh, chicks.
Little chicks.
Got it.
Oh, yeah, that's they're easy.
Bad. That's too bad.
Like the nuggets. Those are little chicks.
It's okay.
What is supposedly the country of origin for beef stroganoff?
Hungary.
It's not Hungary. Although I am a little hungry right
that
now.
That sound good.
Not Russia?
It's Russia. Yeah. Oh. Sort of a straight up...
Of.
Yes.
Okay.
Ends in off or of. What annual food festival is held in Whiting, Indiana, where they also have a Dunk the Nun contest? P.S.
Dunk the Nun?
The contest has nothing to do with the food.
Oh, okay. Come on, Joe. You've been to the Mustard Museum. I'm sure this is your wheelhouse.
Can't believe there's a town in Indiana named
Dunkin'
Whiting.
Donuts.
No, it is
that
sort of
is
a,
in oh, well,
a classic shared, as in like popular
chili,
ethnic food,
pizza.
Spaghetti,
pizza.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Shared ethnic food.
Oh, what city again?
Whiting, Indiana. I can't get over the name, frankly.
Does that have anything to do?
It does not.
Because I was thinking fish.
Tacos.
No. Wait, if it was Whitingski, Indiana, you might guess this food a little faster.
Polish
sausage.
Nope.
Wumkies?
Nope.
Hot dogs.
Pierogi?
Crepe.
Pierogi.
Yeah.
It's the pierogi festival.
Pierogi
the national
fest?
Pierogi festival.
Okay.
Wait, what did you say? How did you describe it? It's, what did you say about the interest in it?
Oh, I just thought that pierogi is pretty well known to be, you know, like if you say Polish food to most people who aren't Polish, they're like, oh, pierogi. You know?
I never heard of pierogi until I moved to Michigan.
Oh, what?
Never.
Okay, did you ever hear of punchki down in?
Never.
You should what see. Okay, heck? every around punchki day, I feel so bad for my students that have left the area. They don't have decent punchki in L.A. They don't have decent punchki in Seattle.
It's true.
Tucson, forget it.
Have never heard of it.
Exactly. They look, I'm like...
No empathy.
Yeah. No.
Tell you what, we're going to gaze at the map and try to channel that pain while we take a break.
Oh, okay.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Todd George is right from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Really glad. Very glad.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, also Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi, Greg.
Please pass the cool whip. The cool whip.
The cool whip. Name the headsman who bungled Monmouth's execution.
Wow. Oh, really?
Ooh, Stephen the Clumsy. Nice.
One-arm friend.
That's it, really. No, was he a French swordsman?
No, he wasn't. Not like Anne Boleyn.
Okay,
no,
so they didn't shed such a little local hack.
This was a man named Jack Ketch.
Well,
K-E-T-C-H.
Don't know him.
Name the artist who painted the Duke of Monmouth's post-decapitation portrait.
I
got to see that in the National Portrait Gallery.
I have seen that.
It is in Gainsborough.
No, it's not.
Darn.
No. Or Constable.
Really, the Scarlet Stump. He had some really horrible names.
No, they sewed it back on so that a post-mortem painting could be done.
It might have appeared in Hieronymus Bosch, but before
this
is
why it's suspiciously wide ascot.
No, it's no one fits. It's okay. Sir Godfrey Kneller, K-N-E-L-L-E-R.
Oh, yeah, Kneller.
Oh, you know him.
You know that name?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Nervous Kneller.
Nervous Kneller.
Ever since he did that picture, he's had these bad dreams.
We're back with some great questions from Mr. Frank Burrows and family, Valencia, California. What is the company that packages Spam?
Hormel.
Hormel.
Hormel is what it says.
In Minnesota, right?
The Hormel Foods Corporation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am almost certain that my father-in-law would get this one right because if there is anything he was passionate about, it was one brand of this famous snack food versus another. Which came first, Hydrox or Oreo?
Ooh,
I'm going to guess Hydrox.
It says here that it was Hydrox by 4 years. Hydrox was invented by Sunshine in the great state of Michigan in 1908. And Oreo was 1912.
Did they sue Oreo?
I don't know, but Hydrox went out of business, man. So that's.
I've never heard of Hydrox.
The Sunshine?
Yeah, you never heard of
whatever
it was?
They make Cheez-Its. Can't live without Cheez-Its.
Oh. No, but Cheez-Its got taken out by Kellogg.
Right. Well, no, all this stuff has been bought out. But
Cheez-Its are Nabisco now, right?
No, Kellogg.
I think it's Kellogg, yeah.
It's Kellogg, because I just did work for them 2 weeks ago.
So it's like cereal. Just better.
Sort of.
And everything is owned by Mondelez or whatever it is called.
Unilever or somebody.
Unilever, yeah. Exactly.
I think I'm a Nike affiliate by now. So.
Oh, good. Professors, what are Chevrotin, Lingerie, Saint Felicien, and True de Cru?
This is a food themed show.
Yes, it is.
Why?
What are lingerie? There's a question. That's getting into the. How do we say plural Neil Young again?
Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, about it.
Are they mushrooms?
Sound pretty French.
Sauces?
They're not sauces.
A potato? They're a type of potato?
No.
Clothing.
That's a good guess.
Pasta.
French are known for this.
Pastries, crepes.
Getting closer.
Croissants.
Nope, not baked goods.
Oh, no.
Not baked goods.
Okay, there goes my grain.
I mean, I can give it away in one word that starts with D. How about dairy?
Cheese.
They're cheese.
French cheeses, okay.
Because crepe.
I bet they're all runny and soft.
That's fine.
I don't care how runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Run it over this way, please.
I'm sorry. The cat's eating it. What are the two main ingredients in an étouffée?
Shrimp and cream.
No, rice.
Rice.
I got
shrimp.
Yeah.
It could be crab. It could be crawfish served over rice. But there is a sauce sometimes.
Mm-hmm. How's by you?
It's a creamy milky sauce.
Is it?
Is it? Okay.
I thought so, because I don't eat it.
No, I always thought it was like seafood. And
I thought it was like a seafood
tomato
stew.
Base.
Hmm.
Tomato base over rice.
I'll live with the rice.
Like, yeah. Let's go to Howe's Bayou. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's where I've seen it.
That's good stuff. Oh, aboard the Vostok 1, on a daily basis, what did astronaut Yuri Gagarin dine on?
It's not Russian. Tang. I know that. So.
No, it was vodka? Not Tang. It's not Dippin' vodka.
Dots. Dippin' Dots in space.
Astronaut ice cream from the future.
What would he? Hold on, when did he go up in space?
This is pretty weird, but I'll do my best to get you there. He had 3 160-gram tubes of one item, and one tube of a different item, and he ate this every day.
Cheese,
peanut butter, and jelly.
That's a really good guess, but that's not it. He was getting his protein. He was definitely getting his protein.
What, like a beef jerky kind of thing?
Yeah, 3
cheese.
Tubes of pureed steak and 1 tube of what?
Potatoes?
Laxative.
The cheese.
Oh, the vegetables. Oh,
no. Why are you laughing? It's
one
funny.
Tube of chocolate sauce.
Chocolate sauce. Oh, okay.
Huh?
Wow.
The astronaut diet that we all have been not asking for.
Oh, man. It just gives an entirely new meaning to like splashdown all of a sudden.
I guess,
I think
huh?
It's good. I'm going to try that.
but
do they package lunches that way?
3 tubes of steak, sir.
Yeah, but tubed food.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
The convenience.
So, I have a gross question, which you don't have to answer. But if all you eat is tubed food, does that change how your body digests it?
I think so, because I always think about it in terms of
the road to
Wellville, like the Kellogg's brother, right? It's like the more you chewed it, if it was liquefied by the time it hit your stomach, you digested it better. So if he's eating pureed steak, they've taken a couple steps out of the process, right?
They've taken chewing out of it,
Taking chewing out of the process.
So your saliva and your stomach acids probably have to work less.
Yes,
right.
I think so.
There wouldn't be a lot of taste to it then, would it?
Possibly. Yeah.
How much salt is in the puree? I don't know.
How much salt's in the chocolate sauce tube?
Chocolate sauce and steaks. That doesn't sound.
Wendy's Hamburgers founder Dave Thomas called this Michigan city his hometown.
He had Michigan roots?
He did. He grew born and raised in not Grand Rapids.
Was that out west?
Yeah. Muskegon.
It was out west-ish.
Battle Creek.
Not Battle Creek, but really close.
Kalamazoo,
Michigan is where Wendy's Hamburgers Dave Thomas.
Huh. Okay. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the first restaurant was?
No, that's not at all, because I think he grew up here and then he moved.
He owned KFC. He was a KFC franchisee for the longest time.
Oh,
I know
really?
That. So.
Okay.
He was adopted, too.
Yes, that's right.
That's a big charity, if I remember right. So.
What are the 4 main ingredients in a traditional California roll?
Rice.
Cream cheese.
Nope.
Lobster.
Fake crab.
Crab and rice.
Something green.
Two things that are green.
Seaweed that wraps around it.
Avocado
and another green thing.
Celery.
A green vegetable.
Onion?
Wait, nope. all
asparagus.
I can't stand the taste of this vegetable, and my wife loves it.
No.
That's good, but that's not it.
Skittles.
Green.
It's not a spice.
It says here you're supposed to add cucumber.
Cucumber.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You rice, cucumber, avocado, imitation crab meat. Yeah, exactly.
Crab with a K.
But there's also cream cheese.
Did you say it doesn't include the seaweed that goes around it?
That's a Philly?
It's like the nori or whatever.
It doesn't say that.
California rolls don't have the wrap. Mm-hmm.
They don't?
No.
Oh. Well, they do if you wank them at my house. That's a Michigan roll.
Yeah, the Evans roll.
Oh, my gosh. Which came first, Everlasting Gobstopper, the candy, or Everlasting Gobstopper in the Willy Wonka movies?
I say the candy came
so first. Both of these are taking place after the publication of the original book.
Ooh. So Roald Dahl wrote the book.
I think it was 50s or 60s when he wrote the book. So one came out in 1971, the other in 1976.
I'm assuming the movie came out in 71.
That is correct. Yes, the movie actually predates the actual candy. When I was growing up, there was a Willy Wonka brand candy. Yes. I think it's still
selling. Yeah, Nerds, Airheads. And,
yep, exactly.
And we had a make-it-yourself Willy Wonka bar.
Oh, wow.
Like you used to get the plastic molds, and then they would come with wrappers.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember this.
Very cool.
Sounds like a sushi thing.
But am I the only one that remembers this? I know. I remember doing it because it came with like stickers and all that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Well, Let's go from Yuri Gagarin's daily intake to Pope Francis's. What are supposedly Pope Francis's three favorite foods, remembering that he is an Italian expatriate raised in Argentina?
Tamales?
Not tamales, but really close.
Tacos.
How about we do the Latino version of a edible pie?
A crepe?
Not a crepe.
So not a pot pie, but a...
Flan.
Oh. Starts with an E.
Oh,
Empanada.
Empanada.
Oh.
Yep. And he likes one of the same two things that Yuri Gagarin likes.
Steak and chocolate.
Steak in a tube?
Oh. And the last favorite food of the Pope, empanada, steak, and something that Kendra thought that Yuri Gagarin was eating every day.
Dippin' Dots ice cream.
Ice cream is what it says here. Yum. The Pope diet has empanada, steak, and ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to start that diet sometime soon, huh? Everybody knows the name of the famous salad that was served at the J.L. Hudson department store, the Maurice salad. And please, Tom, can you describe for us the Maurice salad?
It was green, right?
It has turkey, ham, cheese, like sweet pickles.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't there like egg in it, too, if I remember?
Egg.
In the dressing, yep.
It was in the dressing.
Oh, the Maurice dressing. That's still, people still try to.
That's mayonnaise and onion, like minced onion.
Right.
Wow.
And egg. Isn't there egg in the dressing?
Yeah, I think you just lost Kendra because she's definitely not a mayo fan.
But I'm not an egg fan.
So. Oh, the salad is good.
Most Detroiters
swear by
vividly remember the Maurice salad.
Some places still serve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the one to say there's one place in Somerset, too.
No, wasn't the one? Wasn't the.
Well, the
Sweet Lorraine's used
to. The Hudson's at Oakland Mall. I mean, the Macy's still.
Upstairs.
Okay. Yeah. And you used to be able to get it at Sweet Lorraine's.
Yep.
But they don't anymore. But
that's too bad.
Where we were, they actually had
it. It was a bar.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Royal Oak Tavern?
Yeah, it was Royal Oak Tavern. The Old Town Tavern or whatever in the Royal Oak. It's good stuff, Kendra. Don't think of the mayonnaise.
I would just get it without the dressing.
The dressing,
but the dressing makes a salad.
I can't do it.
All right.
Not even a chance. Not even a small
you don't
chance.
Like mayonnaise?
I strongly dislike it. It is the only food I will not eat.
Don't set the bar
there. Unless it's mixed up with like chicken and spicy.
We're looking forward to 10 questions based on mayonnaise. Just mayonnaise.
Yeah, we're going to do a mayonnaise.
Maybe we'll make it about emulsions and turn it into a chemistry
thing. That sounds great.
Come on, we've already got the call out for shingles. Now we got mayonnaise call out.
Right.
So.
Please, no questions about mayonnaise shingles. It's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
May I have a good weekend.
Professor Lamara.
Good evening.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miley.